All right. Structure. Okay. There are several different kinds of structure. One structure, for sure, does not work. It's called relational structure. It's like a big circle, like you see on there, okay? And what happens is... Okay, when you have a big circle, everybody just comes together. So, Chris, tell me about, or Bob, tell me about your team. Well, whoever just shows up. We got a pretty consistent group that shows up to help. So that's your team. Okay, so let's say you're in the operating room, and this is your team. It's going to cut you open. Now, which part of this team is doing the cutting, and which one's doing the sewing up, and which one's knocking you out? Or it doesn't matter, they're just showing up and helping. And so would you like to know one of them has a little training maybe in cutting you open? And one of them has a little training in anesthesia? I'm just curious. I mean, it's team. They're there to cut you open. But wouldn't you like to kind of know? Okay, most ministries are structured like this. The smaller ministries. They just look at people who are available. Just come and be a part of it. And like, we'll figure it out. Somebody will cook and somebody will greet and somebody will call people. It never grows. It stays right there. So the other extreme is the hierarchy. Okay? The hierarchy is that one person in charge and all these people have their jobs. And this person doesn't talk to this person, and this one doesn't talk to this person, and it's just, this is the communication. The boss down to the people. So if someone says, well, I'm in charge of marketing, well, I don't know what the food person does, that ain't my job. Well, this person's in charge of prayer. I don't know what the person who does them strategic fellowships, I don't know what they're doing. Everybody has their job, and they know their job, but there's no relationship. And remember, our purpose is a relationship with God and a relationship with others. So I like doing what's called a combination. You can draw it this way or draw it this way. What I like is that, yeah, you have someone in charge. This may be a pastor. There may be lay leaders, directors, okay? And you've got your teams. And each one of those have teams. So this might be your prayer person. This is your social person. Marketing, admin, whatever. And inreach, outreach. And then they build their teams, okay? So the bottom line is that we want to build a base team that then builds their own team. Why? Well, if I get sick, if God calls me to some other parts of the church, if God calls me away from the community, I've always got a team I'm training. But here's the difference between this and this. The person who's on prayer can be in charge of prayer, also occasionally cook something for one of the socials. And the person who's in charge of socials... sometimes we'll do phone calls for the admin person. And the person in charge of inreach, which is like care groups or outreach, missions, they may occasionally maybe teach. Okay? Doesn't mean they're in charge of three areas or two areas, but they are in charge of one area, but they also have enough skill to maybe help in some other areas because that's the relational part. Okay? So in the beginning in singles ministry, you might not have this whole team built yet. One person might have to do the prayer and the admin. One person might be in charge of the socials, and then they also have to do the some outreach or missions. It doesn't matter. Your goal, though, is you want everybody to have a separate job, okay? And you want them to know their job. You want them to know what's expected of them in their job. You want to tell them how long you expect for them to serve so they have a way out. Who the heck wants to come and do a job at a church and go, yeah, you're going to be in charge of prayer, okay, forever? Because here's the thing, if I tell you I need a 6-month commitment and we'll look at it again in 6 months, I tell them that, and it's a variation of the 6 months because I want you to know you have a way out. If you're a prayer coordinator and we still, and I'm going to talk about how to build a team, and you don't, after 6 months you're like, oh, this is just not me. You have an option to move into another part of leadership. But here's the cool thing, while you're the prayer coordinator, maybe serve under the social coordinator. And be on a couple of the outreach, you know, the strategic fellowships, you know. Be on the prayer team and help pray for the ministry, which is not be in charge. And find out what are some other areas in the ministry, because the team gets stronger as we all can help each other. But you're going to train your team in order to do your job so there's someone always to take your place. You never leave a man down. What's frustrating about being in a pastoral role is that people leave the position that they've agreed to be the leader of, and they don't leave anybody else to fill it in. And then the pastor has to scramble and find somebody else to fill in. It ends up being somebody that's not called to fill in, or the position gets totally eliminated. And I'll tell you, with singles, it's like there's follow-up is very, very important. I guess it is with all ministry. And that's the first place that I see the ministry gets attacked. Nobody follows up people who visit. And right now, we can't afford to lose anybody who comes in the door in the church. You know, one day the church is growing like crazy. Who cares if they come and leave? We're still going to be big without them. And now we can't afford it. People come to visit. We need to have a very good system in order to minister to them while they're here and to follow up with them when they leave and to find a place for them. I like to put people to work right away. I give them something to do. Just immediately get them a part of it, because then they're going to feel included. Good example is this girl, Candace. I don't know if y'all met her downstairs. Big, bubbly personality. This was her first time. She called up Julie and just said, "I don't know nobody. I just moved back in the area. I'm afraid. I'm scared to come." She comes, and Julie's like, "Chris, now, you know, she's new." I'm like, "That don't mean nothing to me." So I was like, "Well, hey," I said, "you look familiar. Well, you look familiar. So we've arrived. Oh, yeah, you got a problem. I know you've got a problem. See, who do you know? Well, I know this person." Bam, 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 bam. Immediately, our paths crossed. And now she's talking to everybody downstairs. But we immediately put her to work. Gave her something to do. She felt included, felt a part of, felt valued. And that's a big thing in singles, but that's why you have to have a team to help reach all these people. Now, job descriptions. They're on my website. They're free. Every kind of description you can think of for a singles ministry is on the site. It's an editable PDF. So you can make any changes to it and to your ministry itself. So if you decide, you know what, we really don't need an in-reach leader, but we do need a leader to maybe coordinate some things going within. So we're going to call it something else. Or we're going to do outreach, but our outreach is going to be, you know, bottles of water in the park. We're not going to really do missions yet. We're not sending anybody anywhere other than our local. It doesn't matter. But the point is that as God builds your team, you're going to, and you pray through it, you're going to know the direction of your ministry, what it needs to be. When I got to Temple Baptist, they said, "Chris, we want to go give out water bottles in the park." And I go, "Okay, what are you going to say to them when you get to them?" "This is from Temple Baptist." "Okay, then what are you going to say?" "We're glad to meet you." "Then what are you going to say?" "Come to our church." "Then what are you going to say?" "We're not giving out water bottles."
That's right.
I said, "You're not ready."
"That's right."
I said, "We got to get you ready. I think water bottles are wonderful, but we're going to spend a lot of money, give a lot of water out, and there's not going to be anything attached to it. No message, no way to reconnect with a person, no breathe." "Huh? Little living water." "Yeah." So I wanted to make sure that whatever we did, we wanted to make sure there's fruit. We want intentional and strategic ministry. Everything needs to be intentional and strategic. Why are we doing it? Just because everybody wants it? Why do we have a monthly gathering because everybody wants it? Why are we going to have a big gathering with music and a band and food? What fruit's coming out of it? Just because 20 other churches are doing it doesn't mean it's what we need to be doing. So why can't we be known as the church that does all the missions, foreign missions for the community? Where they go, "Oh man, XYZ church, well, those singles over there, every 2 weeks they're going on a mission trip somewhere." That's the church of the mission singles. Wouldn't that be cool? Instead of just being, "Yeah, they just got a singles ministry, just go and get something to eat and listen to some music and sit around and play some board games."
Yeah.
Right? I don't need a church to do that. I can do that at home. But being an intentional ministry, God, what are you leading us to do? Now, understand there's also Sunday school structure. So some singles ministries are not, some have Sunday school, and that's their base, and some have small groups. They don't have Sunday school. Their church doesn't even offer it. So their singles ministry comes out of a small group. And then some, it's not even a small group, some just form under the church heading, and they're just a mixture of different people on their team. So there's lots of different ways, but still the bottom line is, you have to have a team made up of different people with different backgrounds based on the direction that you're going, okay? And you have to have a vision that God has given you that you all have agreed upon in order to reach people for Christ, and how are you going to do it? And then you come together to do it, and you build it. If you just make it like this, where everybody's just getting together, then you've got a club. That's all you got is a club.
That's right.
But if we want to grow and we want to multiply, not just multiply at our church, but even plant some ideas and things in people's heads, they go, "Well, you know what? I've been serving on this team over Central now for about 2 years, and I I'm ready to start a team at my church. Wow. Hey, you think you could maybe come and help us for a little while to get things started? Sure. And get something started over there, and something started over there, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I do, what I do. It's why I travel all over to help start ministries in as many places as God, but start them in the right way so that in 6 months you don't quit. And in 6 months you get frustrated, or 6 months everybody got married on you, and you just said, I forget it. Because, I mean, that's heaven forbid they get married, right? You want to stay single forever? I mean, you know. But some people do. They'd rather all their people in their group stay single so they can have a ministry. And I'm just going, well, you know what? If you're training leaders like you should be, new ones will be coming in as those go out. Oh, but we really had a thing going. Every year we did this, and we had every month we did this, and I like my little group the way it is. It feels good. So is that what Jesus did? No, it changes. If you don't like ministry to change, you're in the wrong area. Because singles, every 6 months, it can turn over completely. You know what? In 2 years I was at Temple, the group I started with was not the group I ended with. Totally new group of people. So, let's go back to this, and I give you everything but the kitchen table, because you can read and go back to things that you're not sure about. We talked about the first hour that you need consistent prayer. For those of you who weren't here, I've got a few extra handouts I can give to you. But on my website, it's free. It's a download that says how to start a singles ministry. Leadership is not about handing out assignments. It's not about having one person in charge. We talked about this. Leadership is about setting boundaries, being self-responsible, being relational, empowering others. Terry Hirsch and Rich Hirsch wrote a book called Giving Away the Ministry, where leadership is not a power pyramid, but a relational pyramid. Relational leadership is self-responsibility in place of authority. It's creating an environment for empowering others. Relational leadership is giving responsibility away or giving the ministry away. It's not about who has the most power, but it's who can give the most power away. You cannot hoard your ministry. You cannot hoard your ideas. You cannot hoard, you know, everything. This is just, I'm not going to let anybody know the icebreakers we did because they might take them and use them. Or I'm not going to let them know our social ideas. We've got these whole things planned. I'm not going to let that singles ministry know, because they might take our ideas and use them. There's plenty of singles to go around, I promise you. And if you end up doing the same, some of the same ideas, it's okay. But make sure it's what God wants you to do. But people will do that. And I'm like, listen, I give away as much as I can to as many people as I can, because I want people to go out and start ministries and grow ministries. Okay? So don't be. If anybody calls you on the phone and says, I heard you have a good ministry, could you tell me some things that you've done that's been successful? Give that information away. If you've got some really good Bible study ideas, give it away to them. If you've taught, preached, Bible study, you got notes, give it away. My Bible study down there called the 31-Day Experiment, I taught it for 6 months, 31 weeks. It's 31 days for 31 weeks. I taught it for 31 weeks and wrote an additional study with it. And if people want it, I just give it to them. Because I want the information out there. I want people to get what this is about. Okay? Why do leaders fail? Obvious things. Ego. They don't delegate. Don't delegate. Do not be afraid to delegate, but they don't do it my way. So it's all about you. When you don't delegate, you're robbing somebody of the blessing that God has given them. You're robbing somebody of the gifts that God has given them, because it's all about you. But they may fail, Chris. Yep. They may not show up. Mm-hmm. Believe me, we put on this conference and we had a lot of things that didn't happen right. A lot of people didn't show up to do what they were supposed to do. A lot of people who did what they were supposed to do didn't do it the way they should do it. But it's not about that. It's about the relationships. And didn't you fail at some time? Didn't you make mistakes and somebody put up with your mess? Amen, right? So to me, we need to allow failure within our ministry so they can learn. Building a team. I talked about this in the first hour. Sally, would you read the scripture for me? Yes.
He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. We're doing all this for a reason. We want to build up the church. We talked a little bit about that last night. So who should be on my team? We talked about this first hour. Faithful and available and teachable singles. Understanding, I like married people people to come on my team if they're going to teach. I like married people to come on my team if they're going to be the co-directors. Understanding the teacher is not necessarily the director of your ministry. They can be two different things. Okay? Not all teachers are really good at shepherding. They just want to come and teach. Okay? And if I get a really good teacher who loves singles and cares about singles and it shows that in their teaching, I will take that person even if they're married. But if they come and they're just teaching because it's all about them and they just like to teach and they always taught wherever they always were, I don't want somebody to teach. I'd rather facilitate and we all take turns than have the wrong person. But a lot of times we have a tendency to make our teachers our shepherds when they have horrible gifting in that area. And we get mad when they don't do it. You'll have this great Sunday school teacher and goes, yeah, he never shows up at any of our functions. Never. He never calls any of us. You know, I was sick in the hospital, never even got a phone call. You know, and so then I began to go, well, then how did you get this teacher? I mean, I'd be curious on how they got that position. So it's, you know, if you're expecting your teacher to also be the shepherd and they're not gifted that way, then you need to find shepherds. So that's why I like directors of classes. I have a male-female director, the co-direct, and they run the administrative of the class. They make sure all the leaders are doing their jobs, and the teacher kind of comes beside them or almost kind of underneath them. Underneath them from administrative, but beside them from a spiritual. Okay? And I used to meet separately with my directors and my teachers because we were literally the Nehemiahs of the class. We're setting the course of where the class is going by what we're going to teach and how we want to organize it and how we want to build our teams. And then I'd have a separate time that I'd meet with all the leaders. How I would do my leadership, when I first go to a church and I'm building, we meet every week because I need that every week, momentum. I'll read a Bible, we'll do like a teamwork, you know, John Maxwell study or something to build our team. After I've established myself, we meet like once a month. And in my case, I had four Sunday school classes underneath me, so we all met as a big group. I taught a lesson on leadership, of what variation, accountability, difficult people, confrontation, all that kind of stuff. And then we broke into separate classes, and then they did their own class leadership stuff individually. You can do it any way you want to, whatever works best for you. But if you don't meet often enough, you lose connectivity. If you meet too often, people, they can't come that often. So you have to find what's good for you. I have a rule that if you miss a couple times in a year, then it's probably not the best place for you to serve. I'll give you the handouts. I'll give you the things that you missed. But again, it's availability, that faithful, available, teachable. If you are highly committed in other places, then you're probably not ready to serve in singles. You can serve as a greeter. You can pour a punch. You can pick up a trash can. But I'm not going to have you serve in the main leadership group because I need you to be totally there. And I'll be honest with you, if you serve in main leadership, you ain't got a lot of time to do anything else. It's a very, very exhausting place. So, those who have a passion and vision and like to invest in others and people in a variety of life stages, unity is critical. We talked about this. If you're not unified, it doesn't mean you agree on everything, but you're unified in the vision that God has placed the leader of that group, and it trickles on down. The last church I was at, the vision we had was whatever the pastor's vision was, we just had singles at the end of it. You know, we're working towards the same thing. Almost at the 2-year mark, the singles were finally ready to do outreach the way I felt they needed to do outreach. And we started with, at our church on Sunday, people would visit and they get these little bags. You know, y'all have coffee cups here. We have coffee cups and a pen and, you know, just junk in a little bag, right? And so I thought to myself, I wonder how many people are visiting on Sunday that are single. Over half, every Sunday, we're visiting, we're single. They actually filled out the card. Who knows how many don't fill out the card? So I said, well, then why don't we deliver the bags ourselves as singles? They know, I mean, they already visited our church. It's not like we're going to strangers. And that became our first step. But before I could have them take the bags, which isn't the easiest part of the bags, you hang it on the door and you run. I mean, you're just like, welcome to temple! And then you just go. That's the hardest part. Is that all you can do? But what's great is if maybe the door opens and you get to talk to people, did you know what to say? So we went through the course on how to share Jesus without fear. And everybody took that course. And then we all had planned teams and then we had rotation. And every Wednesday night, when the bags were sent out there, we grabbed bags and then went off in teams of male and female and delivered the bags to the different singles I had visited. And that was our first real step of called outreach. And if you could pass that and do that well, then I was willing to take them to the next level. So, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Remember, as a leader, you do not recruit people to fill your dreams, but rather invest in individuals to whom God has given dreams of their own. Now, understanding, though, it's still that dreams, meaning that God may have brought someone on your group that wants to be a single parent ministry, but they're willing to serve first on the main team. And maybe down the road when we're bigger, maybe we could branch off and do another ministry. Or I feel really homeless. I'd love to help the homeless. But I know right now before I can do that, I've got to be on the main team. And so they have ideas and dreams of their own, but they're willing to submit under the authority of whoever has placed the leader as far as what God is, the direction that God has given them, until God then opens up those other doors. Because if you all come in with 20 different ministry ideas of what you want to accomplish, you'll just get fragmented. But I definitely don't want 10 of me that just comes in and just do what I think is, you know. I want to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity, obviously, to tell us what we need to do. And listen to people's ideas. So how do I find my team members? First, a simple way is you can create a survey you give out at the church, or to single adults or people already in your ministry to find out who's there, because I want to build my team. How am I going to build it if I don't know who's out there? Understanding, you do not get up with a megaphone saying, anybody want to serve in leadership? Come on! That's not how Jesus built his team. He built it one-on-one. So now, I may do an initial survey. I may do an initial announcement to say, hey, we're having a little brainstorm session of people who are interested in starting a ministry or expanding the ministry, or we're going to add another factor onto the ministry. Sure. But within that, I'm going to talk to people, and I'm going to spend some time with them. One of my high gifts is discernment, so I can pretty quickly tell you if you're going to be leadership material within the first 5 minutes of conversation. So if you don't have a high gift of discernment, you might want to have somebody with you who does. And so I'm going to first kind of survey and see what I have, because I'd rather work with what I have versus what I don't have. I also ask around other people and say, you know, we're really looking for teachers to lead this Bible study for singles. Do you know anybody in your class? They could be married. I'm just whatever, you know. Well, there's, you know, Bob and Susie were both single and they got married in their late 30s, and they've been teaching Bible studies off and on. You maybe need to talk to them. Well, thank you, because church is big. I don't know everybody. So I rely on other people to tell me who they think would be good on my team. Okay? Again, I said this in the first hour. If people are serving in other parts of the church and they're single, unless you feel that Susie Q is going to be the best prayer coordinator and she needs to quit over there and come to be your prayer coordinator, leave them alone. Don't go back and get people that are already serving. We are a gateway to bring new people in. So if singles have come through and they're in the rest of the church, leave them there, okay? And pray for God to bring other ones. I was in New Bern. Y'all know where New Bern is? It's in the middle of nowhere. And I had leaders coming in on a regular basis. I'm like, Lord, who would move here intentionally? You know? And I just didn't understand, because there's just nothing there. You know, the coffee shops closed at 9. One didn't have the internet. I mean, I'm just like, how can you function as a town? And yet every week to 2 weeks, singles were coming in. I had 3 to 4 on average come through the door every single Sunday. And constantly I was getting people that had potential. Some of them had to come beside. Some of them had to send to somebody else to come beside. But it was amazing how I never was without a need for a leader. They were there, as well as all the ones that need help. So God was constantly bringing me people, but I had to be aware and attuned that they were coming in the door to put them to work as quick as I could to be a part of the singles ministry. So, obviously pray about existing people that may be involved. Again, make everyone's job to find and build his own or his or her own team. So, let's say God has given you some people for your team, and you're starting to meet weekly, and you're praying, like I talked about in the first hour. Okay, you're getting a direction of where you think you want to go, where you think your team, what do you think God has built this singles ministry for? What are your goals? What are you hoping to accomplish? Not just give singles something fun to do, but you really want lives to change, okay? And you're really feeling a sensitivity to one area of ministry. So you've got your team and however many people, now it's up to their job to go build their team. And you got to teach them how to do that by modeling it. You can't say, well, go find some people. Like, well, what do you mean go find people? Intentionally, strategic. Pray with them. Look for people. Yeah, Chris, I can't find nobody. I'll help you. I don't know how to call them. I'll help you. I'll help you call them. I had one chick who was our prayer coordinator, bless her heart. She would not build a team to save her living soul. She didn't like it. She wanted to be the prayer coordinator. She'd always been the prayer coordinator. Y'all don't have any of those, do you? They need to step down. They need to rotate out. And she says, well, I've always done it. I never had to build my team before. And I said, I won't say her name. Suze Q, I was not brought to this church to leave you where you are. I was brought to this church to grow you. So there's going to be some pruning involved. We're going to have to cut off the dead and the weak and the misguided and the da-da-da-da. And I said, you know, so understand, I'm not here to keep you where you're at if you're not growing. And some of y'all are not going to like me, but I don't care. Because the church brought me because they felt God was bringing me here to help because they knew that I could quadruple this ministry in a short amount of time. But you got to listen to me. You have to believe in what I'm doing and understanding that I'm doing this from the Lord, not from me. So she wouldn't build her team. And being a prayer coordinator is really simple, guys. Other than the prayer on Sunday morning, you know, your cousin, your uncle, whatever. You know, this particular class, she wrote them down and she emailed them out to everybody to save time for the class. You know, they're having to get up and do all the prayer requests in the class. And then I asked her if she would form a prayer team so that every time we had a function, she would have somebody from the prayer team there. Not real hard. And then I wanted her to coordinate with the church, whatever the prayers were the church, to make sure that the church knew what we needed. She just couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. So I said, I need you to step down. I think for one year, she didn't say a word to me. And this was somebody that used to be on my prayer team. She was that angry with me. I had taken away her job. How dare I? And I said, you know what? I learned a lot, something about her. That she wasn't willing to submit and say, you know what? I'm not the right person. You're right. Because, Chris, you are here to build a team. I can't build a team. I don't have the giftings. And she could have said, but can I stay on the committee? Can I be one of these? And I could have said, yeah, girl. Not everybody can be a leader. But she didn't want it. She wanted it her way or no way. So you're going to have people like that. And you're going to come along with some people and they're just not going to be able to build their team. And you're going to have to make a decision whether you want to build a team for you and that's extra work on you, or they're the right person. And if you can't get all these positions filled for whatever reason, then there's things you don't get done. But if you don't communicate that you have a ministry, somebody's got to communicate it. So you got to have a website, you got to have brochures, something. So somebody's got to make all that stuff. Well, maybe there's somebody in the church who can do it for you that has nothing to do with singles. Be creative. You know, strategically partner. Remember I talked about this. Partner with all kinds of people in your church to help you build your ministry. And my church, they wouldn't let you advertise other than the website and then the thing up on the screen, the LCD screen. They didn't let anybody promote anything in the lobby because it was ugly. Because people couldn't design. Not me. But people couldn't design. And so I started wearing a sandwich sign. Cut around the system, John. I did. What? Well, I wore a sandwich sign because they wouldn't let me advertise because some people really couldn't design. So you get grandma writing, you know, bake sale, you know, and on a piece of poster board and sticking it up on the wall of the church or out in the foyer. So they said, no more stuff. It has to be, these are the way it has to be done. And I said, I'll work around this. So I just started wearing a sandwich sign. That looked nice. It was graphically designed. And I would wear it, but I'd wear it on Wednesday nights only at the supper, because that's when a lot of the people were there. So I got known to be with the chick with the sandwich sign. Well, this is the cool thing. This goes back to the pastoral support question from the first session. We need to create awareness of our ministry in our church. Okay? We need to keep the awareness high, because that's how we get to keep a ministry. Okay? So that means there needs to be a relationship building with the rest of the church so they know what we're doing. Not that we're the ministry that's always crying and boohooing for money, or that we have problems, but we need to be the ministry that has solutions. So when the pastor gets up and he says, y'all, let me tell you what, the singles were out here cleaning up the church. The singles went on a missions trip. The singles are in charge of this, this, and this, and they go, we can't lose our singles. Because I'm telling you, and I said this last night, there are 40 full-time pastors left in the country that do nothing but singles. 250 that do both with three other hats. There's an unlimited number of pastors that are over singles but don't know who they are because it doesn't say anything in their title. So they're probably like education pastors. It's over Sunday school or something like that. And everything else is led by lay people. So if that's the future. So what has happened is pastors, these churches are not investing in singles pastors anymore because they don't think our ministry is viable. They don't think it's worth the investment. So we have to show them and keep it that we are worth the investment. So we don't want to be a problem for the church. We want to be a solution. We want to be a power force that they go, we can't live without them. Even if they're not going to hire a pastor. pastor to lead you, they've got someone that's still over you. So they're not going to let go of you. So the more awareness, so that's what I was trying to do. I wanted to make sure Temple knew we had a singles ministry and it was growing. Because everybody's connected to singleness somehow, some way. Everybody has a cousin, a brother, a parent, a child that is single. And if they know that, wow, the singles at our church is a healthy, fun, encouraging place to go and meet others in Christ, then they're going to promote it for you. And they're going to let people know about it. And so I'm constantly connecting and talking to people about what we're doing, constantly. Anything that I can to bring awareness for what we're doing so that the ministry continues to get the support it needs versus, oh, they're a big pain in the you-know-what. Then, you got to set up a time to meet with each person to get to know them and share your vision. Pray with them. Keep it simple and short. Ask them to pray about their involvement. Ask for short commitments. Pray about each person on your own and with a staff person or a co-leader. Set up a time to meet with them again. At that time, you want to give them, find out a little bit about them. I do 5 questions. I'll send them ahead of time 5 questions and say, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Where have you served in the church? How do you know that you know the Lord? And just questions like this because I want to get a little idea. And then I'll meet with you based on that information of what you wrote and kind of filter out a little bit more about you. I like to interview everybody. When I go to a new church, I don't know anybody. But I'll interview as many people as I can to just kind of get a little feel. Coffee shop. I'll set up Panera. And I'll do, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, and meet with as many people as I can, trying to get an idea. But if you're already in an established church and you already know who a lot of the people are, meet with them, talk with them, find out who they are. Find out why they feel called to do this. What is it about them? Some people are coming into singles leadership because they've always been in leadership. That's just a place for them. No, it's not. Okay? And again, going back to the problematic ones, how do you get some of them to step down and let go? I've actually dissolved ministries when I couldn't get people to leave. Because I could do that. And it's cancer. It's just nasty, disgusting, rotten. So I just dissolve it and start over and build it with the people that need to be built. How do you multiply? You don't say split. You got a class and you need another class, and the original class won't change. They want to do things their way. You just multiply a new class out of that class. There's ways to be creative, but the bottom line is we want it to grow, so we have to do what we can to get it to grow. Develop a relationship. It's your team. These individuals are going to be running the ministry. They will learn from your guidance and direction that God leads you. You can't expect people to come to church, be consistent, do their quiet time, lead others, encourage others, when you yourself are not doing the same. Everything is by model. I don't know everything. I personally still don't know everything. So I still look to those that have mentored me to go, like right now, I am tired. I am so tired, you wouldn't believe. It looks like I have a lot of energy, but this is actually lower than what I normally am. Because I've been on the road, and I have been teaching every single weekend. So I have to have people above me to go, okay, Chris, at this point in time, you have to say no. Chris, at this point in time, you have to have boundaries. You have to have those people in your life that will speak those truths. So let's keep going. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in the fact you're doing. Work together as a team. Communication is critical. Gracious. They need another job and what's expected. They need to have access to you and each other. They need to be given information from meetings and events they've missed. Something else I like to do is I like all my leadership to wear lanyard name tags in church. That way everybody knows who we are. Just as another way to create awareness of our ministry. A lot of moms will come up and say, my daughter is 23 years old and she doesn't know where she's going in life. Can you call her and get her involved in your ministry? I'll say, sure. Or somebody will come and say, their son's divorced and he's 40 and he's got 2 kids and he's at home doing nothing. Can you call him? And I'll give his name to one of the guys in the ministry to call. The reason why they know this is because they know I'm the singles chick, because I've made sure everybody knows I'm the singles chick. And I want everybody to know, well, I'm approachable, we're approachable, and we have a place for everyone. I can't say that everything we do is going to minister to you in every way, but you are welcome in our ministry. And it relieves so many parents to know that there's a place for their child, even though their child is 40. Discipleship is critical, not only your own personal growth, but your team. Have have opportunities to develop leadership skills. I love stuff coming in. You know, I love to constantly be training my guys. So we have a leadership retreat once a year. And then every month I do some type of leadership training. I encourage reading books on it. I send them little snippets by email, things to help them and encourage them in their walk. If I did a poll right now, I bet you the majority of you have never been personally mentored by anybody. Or discipled. There's two kinds of concept there. And yet we're expected to do with others. So when you yourself are not sure what it is, how do you teach somebody else? So that's why I want to, when I have you as my team, is I'm going to try the best I can to disciple you, but we're going to both learn together on what that means. And now some of your team, their personalities are different. Some people are like, Chris, just email me. You ain't got to call me. Just email me. And some people are like, don't even call me or email me because I'm not going to answer you. You better come see me. Everybody has on my team. You know, you have to know your team and know how it's best to communicate with them. Now, pretty much, I ain't mailing nobody nothing anymore. You ain't got to email us. You're lost. I'm sorry. That's the one place I draw the line. But in my older class at Temple, I had a lady who didn't have email, and it was hard to keep communicating with her. The Sunday school teachers were complaining. So anyway, a few weeks went past, and I was talking to her. I think her name was Denise, and it's been a while since I was there. And I said, Denise, you know, we really wish that you had email. And I said, but, you know, I know that you just, well, I don't know how to use a computer. And I go, that's all right. My mama don't either. And so we got talking, and I said, you know, they want you to be on leadership, but we're concerned about you're not going to be able to get the emails. And but I heard that you were doing some type of leadership stuff anyway that we had actually assigned to you, you know. And she'd been calling every single person on the entire database of older singles every week and checking on them because she didn't have email. And some people didn't like it. Some people just sort of said, well, you don't have to call me every week. But it was her ministry. So yet, yes, she didn't have the way we wanted it perfectly, but she was calling everybody and making sure nobody fell through the cracks. Who does that? Some of these people, it was the only phone call they got all week because they don't have anybody in their life. So we let her stay on the team, or get on the team, and just remember we had to call her because she didn't have email. So it continues. Delegate to help build the ministry. Encourage and support. Nip gossip in the bud. If you hear somebody say something about somebody, you got to nip it. And teach by modeling that telling people they need to nip gossip. Plan and strategize. Perform team building projects. I like to post scriptures of well-known leaders in the meetings in the class. It's just another way of encouraging people that singles and leaders, singles can be anything. Just like I talked about George Washington Carver. In the same way, they can be a negative. I mean, there's singles who haven't contributed to society, but there's a lot that have. Anything that I can to encourage my leaders and my singles. Be sure everyone is on the same page in what you believe biblically in the direction of the church. Just here alone, I'm hearing, oh, I go to a Baptist church, but I come over to the Assemblies of God socials, etc. Well, you do know doctrinally there's some differences. I find with singles, they don't care. And I'm kind of like, well, I don't care whether you dunk or sprinkle, women-led, men-led, or tongues or no tongues or whatever. That is, to me, these are not issues that have to do with salvation. But if you have people that are teaching salvation is this way versus what you know it to be, it's going to be a problem. So you need to make sure, especially when you're doing a citywide group, you got to make sure that you don't have a Mormon or a Jehovah or somebody believes that you can get baptized when you're a baby and that's good enough. You got to make sure that you're coming to some type of alignment. And of course, if you're under the church heading, then it needs to be under the agreement of the church. Just again, the reason I say this, because I've been there and made a mistake. And I had somebody teaching, it was teaching a different doctrine and we didn't know about it until it got out. Also made a mistake putting teachers in a place of teaching when the only thing we had was that they taught somewhere else and not knowing them. At Temple, you have to be a member to teach. Bottom line, all teachers had to be approved by the pastors. Again, because we're putting them in a place of authority. So I'd rather have no teachers and we all just read a page out of a book every week than to have the wrong teacher. Okay? So evaluate often. Have a plan to deal with conflict and problems. I have one on my website at my lunch table. I'm actually got the handouts specific to that. How do you deal with conflict and problems in your ministry? What happens, Chris, when the team quits, fails, or doesn't get the work done? Here's some questions. Have you defined their job? Susie used to come and she used to do, you know, she used to set up and now she's gone. Why is she gone? Well, I guess she's just not a team member. Well, Did she know what her job was? Did she know what's expected of her? Did you know she was supposed to be here at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning? Did someone tell her that? No. Well, then why? I mean, exactly, okay? Like, just imagine your own job in the secular world. If no one gave you any direction or guidance on what your job was supposed to be, how are you going to do your job? Is the task appropriate for the team member? Yeah, we gave Bob the job of greeting. Ushers all over the world and churches have the jobs as greeters, and they just stand there. Wrong person to be the greeter. Okay? Put him somewhere else. We don't have to talk to nobody. Does the team leader have someone to help him or her with a job? You know, when you're the social chair, the strategic fellowship chair, that can be a very busy position, so they need helpers. Or you don't have one. What a concept. But we gotta have a gathering. Well, just pick up the phone and go do something with each other. But if you don't have a team to create the gathering, how are you gonna have one? Are there things on their in their life, are there things going on in their life limiting them from getting the job done? Maybe a parent is sick, a child is sick. If you don't know your team, how do you know what their needs are? And have I ever been someone with this team member? You get so busy doing the ministry that you forget the person. You forget picking up the phone and just saying, how are you doing today? You know, in my line of work, very few people ever pour into me. I have to just get it all from Jesus. You know, you forget. You get so busy doing ministry that you forget that they are people, they're individuals, and there's stuff going on. And a lot of times they'll quit on you, and you won't know why they quit. You think they just don't care. And it's because something horrible is going on, and they didn't feel like they could tell you anything because you didn't seem approachable. Or in my case, they'll go, well, we didn't want to take Chris because we thought you were going to yell at us. Or we thought you'd be very disappointed because you really like things done a certain way. Really? I'm like, I don't want to ever come across that way. Yes, I am very strategic. Yes, I have a plan. But at the same time, it's not always the end. It's all this in between. So, these are some ideas and resources you can take a read at that. And the last thought here, if I want 1 year prosperity, I'm going to plant some grain. If I want 10 years of prosperity, I'm going to grow a tree. And if I want 100 years of prosperity, I'm going to grow people. And understanding that, you know, and I definitely want to take a couple questions. We're 1 minute over, so that's pretty good. This session here is really about a 3-hour session. We just crammed it in about 45 minutes. Because part of this is us solving some of the problems, some of the issues that we're struggling with on how to build our team. Don't feel like you've got to go build this gigantic team. Start with 2 or 3 people that have a vision with you, that believe in what you're doing. Start there and build on that. Because understanding, if all you have is a Bible study at your house on Tuesday nights, you don't need all these people in the beginning. You need somebody who will pray and somebody who will teach and maybe somebody who will make phone calls or emails. That's it. That's all you need. Because after the Bible study, you're going to go out anyway. So you don't need a social chair, right? You're not doing outreach or inreach yet. So start basic like that and really believing and praying that God is going to take it to some other level. After I did the 31 weeks, my young singles came to me and said, can we start a Bible study? Because I was ending mine. I'm like, oh, let me think about it. Yeah. I'm like, that's the way they want to ask me, not Chris, can we do a social? They wanted to start another study. And so they started meeting on Sunday nights. And what's cool is that some of the young people that came in the morning didn't come at night and vice versa. It was another gateway that brought people into the church. So my goal is to get people to Christ. And I'm going to do that with Sunday school, small groups, Bible studies, prayer, and then everything else happens as a result. It just happens. You'll know it because God will be telling you what to do. And as your team changes and people get married and move away, you got to keep bringing some more in. Bringing some more in. Encourage people to go find somebody to take their place. As soon as they sign up, as soon as I decide that the Lord is telling them they're going to be the such and such person, I tell them to go find somebody to duplicate. Just start looking and praying with people that can be on their team right away. I mean, literally that day. Because things happen. And I don't want our ministry to be destroyed. The devil's going to look every way he can to destroy the ministry. Steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to find all the cracks. So we have to be one step ahead of him. Amen? All right. Any questions? Yes. Okay, I'll get it for you. What else? Anything? Everybody's ready for lunch? This is just your team. This is what this course is about, leadership development. Yeah, I want to meet with them on a weekly basis. And like I said, in the beginning, we meet weekly with an end. I mean, I'm saying we're going to meet weekly for 3 months. And we're going to read John Maxwell's 22 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork. And we're going to have a time of prayer for our ministry. And we're going to get to know each other. And we're going to make a decision as a team the direction we need to go. Let me explain. In the four Sunday school classes at Temple, they all went four different directions. Our young ones, the college age, it's all about the community and the awareness of the community and what they can do to be good in the community. The 25 to 35s wanted some of that, but they said, Chris, we don't want to do anything with food. Why is everything has to be about food? So they wanted to do like we did an Adopt-a-Highway. Okay? And so we're out there cleaning up trash. Okay? And then afterwards went to eat. The third group, they adopted a family called the Karen. It's the Burmese. It's the refugees. And our church would adopt a family. And for 4 months, we sustained them until they can sustain themselves. We as a singles group of 30 singles took on an entire family financially for 4 months. That's what they wanted to do. And then the older singles, they just want to eat. They did do a walk-a-thon for breast awareness cancer, but that was about pretty much, they're like, can we just eat every Friday? Yes.
Great.
So, No. So I want them to do whatever God's called them to do based on their ministry, based on their team. None of it's right or none of it's wrong. It's wherever God is leading them. And for the one person that walks in and says, well, I don't really want to do the refugee thing. Well, why don't you come and help us? You might really like it, you know? But they don't speak English. Yeah, but they have little children. And I know you've done some work in the children's department. Maybe you could bring a craft with you. Oh. Like, oh, I don't know. I can't really help them. I said, well, don't you sometimes work in the kitchen? Yeah. Well, maybe you could bake something and bring it. You see? And for you know, they're involved. And they don't even know it. You know? So they become a part of the solution instead of part of the problem. I'll tell you a real quick story about a lady who's a problem single. I might repeat it at lunch, I don't know if I will. Anyway, she's at a church in Greensboro. Not her church, though. Not Kurt's church, either. And anyway, I had gone and rebuilt their singles ministry. And I would go once a month to do training and teach Sunday school. They came to me and said, Chris, this chick, Susie Q, you need to get rid of her for us. I'm like, huh? They said, she's problematic. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, she dominates all the conversation during Sunday school. She badgers the men. She talks down to the men. And is very angry. And so we can't handle her. And I said, well, when I'm there teaching, I don't notice that about her. They go, yeah, because you're stronger than she is. She knows. She feels your spirit. She's like, you know. Which is true, because if you are anointed, I mean, you can't overpower the enemy very quickly as far as, you know, the enemy comes, you know. So when I'm teaching, she just didn't, her personality didn't come out. I mean, I didn't see this side of her. So I'm just trusting them. So I said, well, let me meet with her. So I'm talking to her, and I'm getting to know her life, getting to know about her, whatever. And she says, Chris, I just have to tell you a little bit about myself. I haven't told anybody at the church. She goes, my ex-husband emptied out our checking account and took our children, and I don't know where they are. And I'm penniless, bankrupt. I'm living with some lady I don't like. I've had to get a job again because she was a housewife. And she had to get a job in the world, and she hadn't worked in many, many years. And she had no idea where her children were. Police were looking for them. Nobody could find them. She had no money to hire a lawyer. And she said she hated life. She hated men. She hated everything. So I said, have you shared this with anybody at the church that maybe somebody, if they knew this, they would maybe pray with you and you know, encourage you and help you, whatever? She's embarrassed that she must be a horrible mother that her ex would take her children from her. And so anyways, we talked and we prayed. And then I said, can I ask you a question? I said, I noticed you come to Sunday school early. She goes, yeah. I said, would you think about being on the prayer team? I'm not in charge of prayer now. Just go on the prayer team. Because you're there already. You know, we meet for 5 minutes. We pray for the leaders. We pray for the ministry. Well, I can do that. I said, and something else. The room gets a little messy from the group that meets there before. You think you could, like, straighten up? Like, put trash in the trash can? Well, sure, I can do that. A month later, I go back. And they had a cookout or a pig picking or whatever. And I walked up, and she's standing at the front. She goes, I'm the name tag girl. You can't get past me without a name tag. total difference because she felt involved, she felt valued, loved, she had something to do. They said, yeah, she still struggled because you don't get over losing your children. But she was better because someone took the chance to see something in herself that she didn't see in herself and reached out to her instead of looking at her as a part of the problem, looked at her and said, well, maybe there's a solution. Now, I know there's some of you like, you done everything, and you just praying to God take them away. But guess what? When he takes them from your church, he'll get take them to another church. So maybe the problem is not to send them to another church, it's to figure out how to live with them and have boundaries so that you can tolerate those people that drive you crazy and singles. Cool? Let's go to lunch. You're welcome.
Good, baby.
Turn my world upside down.